So you're a doctor, you're a licensed trained doctor. You started your career as an anesthesiologist.
That's true. I basically focused on pain management and chronic pain management. And I noticed that people were just not getting better and that people were becoming more and more addicted to the prescription pills, namely the narcotics that I was giving them. And I was trying to just figure out a way to make them better. And that's how this all started. It all changed for me probably about 10 years ago when I realized people are just not getting better. They're just coming back every month to get a prescription. And I was just tired of giving people a pill for a problem.
You know, I think people have come to believe that there are easy answers to every little pain or discomfort that we have. And, you know, take a pill, feel better. I think of the Rolling Stones, Mother's Little Helper.
Right.
You know, there's such a belief that pills or pharmacology is somehow going to cure every aspect of our life. And that's simply not true.
It's Thursday morning. Pam Colleen is in the house. We're going to rock the boat as we always do on health issues. Good morning, Pam. Ready to go?
I'm ready to go, Andy.
You know what I was thinking of this morning? We're going to talk about drugs. Remember the guy who called and started emptying his medicine cabinet on the air?
A long time ago. Yeah, that's right.
25 drugs. Yeah. Half of them he didn't know what they were for.
That's right.
My wife's doctor tells her that she's the only patient that this doctor has that's not on drugs of any kind. I was thinking, how many drugs are in our medicine cabinet? We don't have a medicine cabinet. We literally don't.
Good stuff.
We literally, I mean, and from what I'm hearing from you and from our guest who we're about to meet, that's pretty darn rare.
It is rare because about half, in the United States anyway, about half the people are on some sort of prescription drug. It's just that it's become the norm. In my book, my addiction book, I wrote about Aldous Huxley, how he had foreshadowed this addiction epidemic that we're going through today. He knew it. And if you look at the book Brave New World, everybody in that futuristic society back that he wrote the book in the 30s, but in this futuristic society, everybody was on a drug. It was called Soma, and it was to turn everybody into zombies, basically.
Wow. We have a very interesting guest who has some strong feelings on this subject this morning. Would you introduce Dr. Greg?
Oh, I'm very pleased this morning to have Dr. Greg Smith on the show. He's the executive producer and co-writer of the film American Addict. And not only have they done one version of this movie, it has become so popular that it's actually going to be a part two as well. So Dr. Smith joins us this morning from California. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Terrific. How are things out on the left coast?
The left coast is doing well this morning.
Well, you know, when I think of turmoil, I always think of California. They got mudslides. They got earthquakes. They got political problems. They got bankruptcy. Even worse in Florida, where they have sinkholes and every other kind of abomination you can think of. So things are good in California, and you haven't had the big one yet.
Well, you're right about all that, but at least we have good weather, right?
and we have fond memories of the Beach Boys. Doctor, let me ask you the question. We were just talking about medicine cabinets.
Right.
How many Americans don't even need a medicine cabinet?
Well, a lot. And I heard Pam say about half the people in America are on drugs. It's actually 70%. 7 out of every 10 people in this country right now are taking at least one prescription drug a day, and 50% are taking two or more. And I think it's something like 15 or 20% that's taking like 5 or more drugs a day. So it's out of control, and we're seeing this trend unfortunately spread to one country after another country. But the United States is clearly the leader in this negative category.
In fact, you have some very interesting figures on what percent of the world's drugs are consumed by Americans and what percent of the population they represent.
Very true. Well, the first film, American Addict, because we're almost done with American Addict 2 right now, but the first film starts with that question or that fact saying that the U.S. is about 5% of the world's population, but we consume 80% of the world's hydrocodone, which is in drugs like Norco or Vicodin, and 50% of the world's pharmaceutical drugs in general, which is ridiculous. And I say over and over again, this is not coincidence or happenstance. This is a purposeful act to basically have people medicated.
Mm-hmm. In your movie, you talk about chronic disease and how incredibly profitable it is. So, you know, how did this come to be? I mean, this didn't happen overnight. What happened? What were the precursors to this event happening in our lives today?
Well, you're right. It didn't happen overnight. It really probably started about 35, 40 years ago, where there was a clear shift in the way that medicine was practiced in this country to become more pharmaceutical-based. So I always tell people that from an acute standpoint, we actually do a very good job if you need surgeries and things like that. But for chronic disease, we're terrible at it. We rank very low in the world in terms of treating chronic disease. And I believe that the reason for this is really due to profit. And I've seen over and over again in our research and the people that we've interviewed and all the places that we've gone that profits trump the health of the general public over and over again, because we have to face the fact and that sick people that don't die, that is, sick people with chronic disease that live for a long time, are great for business. It's great for the pharmaceutical companies and great for a lot of other people, but it's a completely lose situation for the general health of the population.
But you're a medical doctor. Your colleagues every day are handing out prescriptions like candy. How did it come to you that you had this revelation and decided to be more conservative about writing prescriptions?
Well, you know, you're right. People write a lot of prescriptions. I still write prescriptions. I don't say that all drugs are bad. It's the overuse and the abuse of drugs. And really, there's a lot of reasons it's happened. One of them is that the decreasing or the shrinking reimbursements to physicians have forced them into a situation where they have to see more people in less time. So when someone comes in to see the doctor, instead of spending 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes, an hour, whatever it takes to actually get to the root cause of the problem, it's much faster to simply write a prescription. So if a person can't sleep, it's easy to write a prescription for Ambien or Lunesta or some sleeping pill versus taking the time to actually figure out why they're not sleeping in the first place. And again, the pharmaceutical companies have their tentacles in medical schools, in the medical meetings. They have an unbelievable amount of money to lobby Washington, D.C. They're the number one lobby right now in Washington, D.C., bigger than oil and tobacco. And they also allow in this country direct marketing to patients on television. So it's a perfect storm to get people to get pills for problems.
Dr. Smith, I wonder, just give us a snapshot, if you would, of the health of Americans today. And let's put them in four categories, children, teens, adults, and seniors. Let's start with children. What's the state of the health of children in the U.S. today?
Well, it's all bad. So if you look at childhood obesity, for instance, it's off the Richter scale. I mean, if you compare children today versus 20 or 30 years ago, the obesity rate is out of control. And this is, again, a direct result of the proliferation of fast food restaurants. And toxic food is a completely different subject, but I think it goes hand in hand with the pharmaceutical the medication or medicating of children. And then we have the medicating of children. The diagnoses for things like attention deficit disorder are just, again, exponentially have increased. And there's a very, very telling photograph that's going all across social media right now that I actually retweeted and put on my Facebook. And it's basically a picture of 1970 of some children in a classroom, and one child is clearly not paying attention to the teacher, and it says, the caption says, daydreaming. And then they have the same picture, the exact same picture, but the caption is 2014. It says attention deficit disorder. Mm-hmm. And I think this is really a microcosm of what's happening. We have children that are being diagnosed with something, whether it's if they're shy, they have antisocial disorder, and they're put on medication. So, and there's sickness. The side effects from these medications cause even more sickness. And when you look at teenagers and adults and older adults, it goes on and on because the medicating starts at a young age and continues throughout life. And I heard you say, I know you're talking about a relative. I didn't catch everything, but you were saying that your doctor said that's the only patient that doesn't take medications. It's true. It's very rare that a person gets to be a senior age over 65, 70 that's not taking a ton of medications. It's crazy.
Yeah. Wow. The children, you know, and we all relate to children. I mean, adults can make their own choices, but children, you say that it's all bad. That was the first phrase you used describing the health of children. You know, here we are. Now we're in a situation with Nigeria, and these schoolgirls have been kidnapped, and we're going to rush over there apparently, and we're going to rescue them. And we've been in Afghanistan and Iraq, and we're running around the world trying to fix their issues. When they look at America, and they look at what you just described, they must be thinking, wait a minute, what about in the Dominican Republic, where my brother-in-law from here in London, Harry DeJong, takes a team down every year to build a school or a house, and those are people who have nothing, but they have perfect teeth, and in many cases, almost perfect health. They must look at us with our streets of gold and our Cadillacs going, what's with you people? And especially in California, where we hear every second person has a shrink, Dr. Smith, what's happening to America?
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. It's what's happening to America in a nutshell is that we have a society that has a very short attention span, and people want instant gratification. They want to feel better now. And instead of investing the time and effort to really get again to the root cause of a problem, whether it's anxiety, depression, which is often sadness, not depression, it's easier to take a pill. And the way that our medical system has been driven by the pharmaceutical companies, it's easy for the doctor to go ahead and write that script. And I think that most doctors are actually pawns of the system. They're being victimized themselves because popular belief thinks that doctors get all this money for writing prescriptions, where the reality is most doctors don't get any money for writing a prescription. They're being influenced by drug representatives that come to their office. They're being influenced by medical meetings where all the dinners and all the exhibits, which cost unbelievable amounts of money, are catered to get the doctor to write certain scripts. So most physicians think that they're doing the right thing by medicating people because it does solve the problem for the short term. But for the long term, it is an absolute disaster.
But doctor, what you're saying is we have a broken system. The system is broken. It's full of really good people working in it, but the system is dysfunctional. So how would you foresee any kind of changes, positive changes in the right direction to help people take control of their health?
Well, you're right, it's broken, but it depends on who you ask, because the pharmaceutical companies are very happy because their profit margins are crazy right now. But what we can do to stop this or to turn this around, and I always tell people that the power is in the public, the power is in the people. So when people become aware of the things like in the film American Addict, and they see what's happening to them, then they can start to get alternatives, go to a naturopath or an integrative medical doctor. I mean, I practice integrative medicine, which means that we use the best of all worlds. And my specialty, obviously, is chronic pain and addiction. But there are all types of doctors that are now using different types of medicine to get to the right answers. But when you go to a conventionally trained doctor who's practicing conventional medicine, you are almost always going to get medications for the vast majority of your problems. So people need to get second, third opinions, go to alternative healthcare practitioners, read for themselves, get information, and basically stop themselves from becoming what I call an American addict. Because the reality is that the majority of people right now are medicated, and it's contributing to the zombification of our society. And if you look at this from a bigger standpoint, it's much easier to dupe the general public, whether it's from a political standpoint or other standpoints, when people are so busy just trying to make a living and pay bills and distracted by television and Facebook and sporting events and everything else. And then on top of that, they're medicated, so they're not making good choices. They're not paying attention to what's literally being done in front of them in secret, even though it's right in front of them.
Doctor, we have to take a short break. I want to share a quick story. I worked in a prison in Calgary years ago while I was going to university there, and I will never forget some of the inmates. One of them in particular, I just close my eyes and I think of his face. You know how you take your little girl to the Loblaws superstore here in London and they'll paint her face? Well, it was like that. There were circles of green and yellow and purple, and I thought somebody literally had painted his face. And they said, no, Andy, it's the effects of drugs, probably heroin. I want, when I come back, to ask you about the difference of the impact of street drugs and prescription drugs, and what happens to society generally when most people, as you say, 70%, are medicated. We'll be back with Dr. Greg Smith and Pam Colleen in just a moment right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK. 10:27 now. Pam Colleen along with Andy Udman in conversation with Dr. Greg Smith, who has put together a shocking snapshot of what we all know is there. But when you see it in a documentary, the documentary is called, Pam?
American Addict 1, and he's working on American Addict 2 right now.
Okay, Dr. Smith, let me ask you about the word addict. What do we mean when we say the word addict?
Well, probably a better term now is just a substance abuse, as opposed to, because addict has got a lot of negative connotations, and dealing with chronic pain patients, there's a lot of chronic pain patients, millions of people in the United States and tens of millions worldwide that are on chronic narcotic therapy. And many of these patients, this is the only way that they can even function. And so I consider these patients dependent on medication or narcotics and not addicted. Addicted means more of a psychological aspect. So I look at it this way. The difference between an addict and someone that's dependent is an addict will leave their five-month-old baby in a crib at 2 in the morning and go out to fiend for drugs and leave that kid. A person that's dependent may be going in emergency rooms and bugging their doctor for their medications and panicking, but they won't make horrible choices like that, because when someone's truly addicted, they just have no logical thought process whatsoever. When they need medication or when they're dope sick, they will literally do anything to get the drugs that they're seeking.
Okay, the question that I promised before the break, to compare, if you would, the damage in North America, specifically the U.S., which you know best, being a doctor in California, the damage from street drugs compared to the damage from prescription drugs.
Right. Well, I always sort of laugh to myself when I hear people, especially in the government, talking about the war on drugs, because they're always talking about illegal street drugs. And really, not only have we lost that war, but we're fighting the wrong war, because prescription drugs dwarf the street drug problem. For example, the stat that pops out a lot is that three times as many people die of prescription narcotics than heroin, cocaine, and methamphetamine combined. So when you look at the money involved and when you look at the amount of people that are dying on a day-to-day basis, about one every 19 minutes at this point, it's not even a comparison. I mean, I'm not saying the street drugs are not a problem, but the biggest problem are prescription drugs, and you see more and more street-level dealers actually dealing prescription pills because it's more profitable.
And a lot of people think because it's a prescription drug that it's safe, right? That somehow or another that they can get away with maybe taking a little bit more than the doctor prescribed. And unfortunately, doctors are not necessarily trained in addiction, so they don't know how to prevent a lot of this type of addictive behavior from happening in the first place.
You're right on both points. I mean, the training for the vast majority of doctors is not very, very good. In fact, most pain physicians aren't really trained in addiction. It's a very separate field. And there is a perception that prescription drugs are safer. But these drugs are made in a laboratory to really bind receptors and work, and they can be extremely dangerous. And I tell people all the time, it's a lot easier for me to detox or get someone off of heroin than it is OxyContin or methadone. Much easier.
Okay, I want to go to the phones, Dr. Smith. Peter has a story. Peter, what's your story?
Okay, I'm a certified healing touch practitioner. I've been since 1994. And I was in hospital just before New Year's in St. Thomas, and I had pneumonia. I caught pneumonia, was at my son's, who's a firefighter in Guelph. I came out of hospital on 13 prescription drugs. They found everything wrong with me. I've got it down back down to 5, and I hear Dr. Smith there, God bless him, he's on the right track, but he calls people who alternative medicine. We're not alternative, we're complementary. The medical profession will always be on top of the pyramid. And they've got to take a little bit of time, take a look at it, take a look at what homeopathic and medicine does for people, what help you can get from natural. But what happens is the pharmaceuticals, like St. John's Wort was one of the great ones, now it has a DIN number, drug identification number. So the naturopaths and homeopathic people can't use it because it now has to be prescription. There was a cough medicine that I had COPD at one time, and I used Buckley's, the cough medicine, which is everybody knows is awful, but it worked. I don't have COPD anymore.
Peter, let me just ask you about your comment about you were in the hospital, and you were pretty much a mess, but you came out on 13 meds?
Yes, 13 prescription drugs.
And you've got now got down to about 5?
I went down to 5 okay. And still working at it.
Did you protest when you were prescribed all those drugs? Did you say anything to your doctors?
The thing is this, at the time when you're sick, you think, well, I'm in the hands of the top of the pyramid. We're in the hands of doctors. A doctor asked me while I was in there, if you are sick and you're not going to follow our protocol, why do you come to see us? Why do I go to hospital when I'm sick if I'm not going to follow their protocol, which I try not to because of the prescription drugs? But I said to her, where do I go? Do I go to my butcher? Do I go to my chiropractor, who is a doctor sort of thing? But who do I go to? Mm-hmm.
That's a very, very interesting question, Peter. I appreciate the call. Let me put that question to you, Dr. Smith. Where else? I mean, a lot of people say there's no other option. You know, I go to the guy who's got the pager and the white jacket.
Well, I couldn't hear him that well. If you could just summarize a little bit. I heard he was on 13 medications.
Right. He went to the hospital. They put him on 13 medications. And it sounded to me like what he was saying, it was an exaggeration over what he was going through. So he was able to reduce the 13 drugs to 5 drugs, which he's taking right now. But there was no mention of any kind of complementary treatment along with using the allopathic remedies.
Right. And this, herein lies the problem. This is a perfect example. I have a saying that if all person has a hammer, then all the world's a nail. So in other words, if you go to a clinic or a hospital or a certain type of physician, they're going to offer you what they do. So it's really the public has to take their health into their hands at this point and get second and third opinions. The days are long gone where you can simply go to your physician and have 100% trust. And it's not that the physicians are bad people or trying to hurt people. They're just doing what they've been taught. And if what they've been taught is pharmaceutical-based medicine, then that's all they're going to offer you. So you have to go to other people, whether, again, if it's a naturopath, functional medicine physicians, integrative physicians, nutritionists, acupuncturists, get different opinions, have different sets of eyes and philosophies look at you, then you can get real answers for your problem.
Doctor, one of the videos, one of the pictures that I remember from watching your videos this morning, hey, I'm a guy, there was a very attractive woman, she looked like a cheerleader, then there was another one and another one. What do attractive cheerleaders and graduates from university have to do with convincing doctors about what medications they should give people like Peter?
Well, we know that that attractive people in general get through the door. So a physician that's busy all day, especially male physicians that are busy, and they look out and they see a very young, attractive drug representative, they're more likely to say, okay, look, I'll take a 5 or 10 minutes to talk to that person than just a guy or just some average-looking person. And even though this sounds shallow, it is the truth, and we see this over and over again in these fields, that the majority of people are attractive and they know what they're doing. I mean, it's part of sales, and you can't blame them. I mean, drug companies are for-profit companies. They're trying to sell their product, so it's up to agencies like the FDA in America to protect the general public, and they're failing also. So what happens is you have this unbridled onslaught on the people getting medicated through the drug companies, through the commercials, and through the doctors as their way of getting the drugs, the instrument of getting the drugs.
Pam, you and I were talking about these shootings, and we're hearing them almost every week in the United States. My question to you, Dr. Smith, would be, are there some serious questions we're not asking about the role of prescription drugs in the lives of some of these people who are, you know, trying to settle all their problems in life by storming into a building somewhere and shooting people?
It's a great question. And in American Addict 2, we really focus a lot of time on that fact. And what's lost in a lot of the media reports, and you have to go out of the mainstream media to really get the truth. Often it's a gun control issue. You hear about these mass shootings or these suicide mass shootings and school shootings, et cetera, and it's always the guns, the guns, the guns. But when you really look at it, it's really the drugs, the drugs, the drugs, especially the psychotropic drugs, the SSRIs or serotonin selective reuptake inhibitor, antidepressants. These drugs are linked to these crimes time in and time out, and we've actually listed these out going back 30 years, and literally 95 plus percent of the time, the perpetrator was medicated at the time that they did these mass shootings.
Right, and the side effects of a lot of these drugs that you're mentioning are indeed homicidal and suicidal thoughts. And you feature in your movie Dr. Peter Bregan, who is a psychiatrist, who is a very outspoken critic of these, of the overuse of these psychiatric medications as well.
That's true. Dr. Bregan believes that the whole class of drugs should be basically wiped out, and I tend to agree with him. There's a lot of other ways that people can handle depression, but the sad part is that most a high degree of people are being medicated with antidepressants that are sad. So we're basically medicating people for normal life events. If someone close to you passes away, or if you have some major event, bankruptcy, divorce in your life, people are going to get sad. It is a natural reaction and part of the growth process, part of making people full-blown actual adults is to take stress and to take life events and deal with them in a positive way, and it makes you stronger. But when you're placed on medications for sadness, that whole cascade is wiped out, and then you have the side effects of the drug.
Okay, doctor, we've been jumping from one branch to the other of the drug tree, the pharmaceutical drug tree. Let's go to the trunk. What is the theme that goes right down the middle of all of the what you're saying? What are you trying to say in these two documentaries, American Addict 1 and now American Addict 2?
Well, we're trying to say a lot. I think one of the biggest messages is that, number one, we really aren't getting protected adequately, the general public, that is, from the pharmaceutical companies. And again, we harp on the fact that the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration in this country, is the buffer between the public and the pharmaceutical companies. So they're supposed to deny or not let drugs onto the market that are not safe and effective. And what we've seen over and over again is this isn't happening. The main issue is that about $700 to $800 million a year is paid directly to the FDA from the pharmaceutical companies. So this is ludicrous that an agency that's receiving this much money is supposed to then turn around and oversee the same people that are giving them the money.
And it's a conflict of interest from the get-go. Yeah.
Drugs released on the market that are no better than the drugs that are already on the market, or we see drugs that are getting on the market that actually maim and kill people, and they remain on the market for years until finally the FDA takes them off, but that's after profits have been made and monies have been recouped.
I know that one area that you particularly are interested in is the effects of a medicated society, and I think you mentioned the figure 70% of Americans are under some kind of medication. What are some of the effects, for example, on society at large, on elections, on politics?
Well, I don't think that most people anymore really think for themselves. If you ask someone, when is the last time you sat quietly and just thought or meditated or just thought about life in general, what's your purpose in life? And very few people do this because we're always distracted. And I see pharmaceuticals as another way to keep people distracted. So people are distracted, again, by television, by being on the internet all the time. People are going from literally from one distraction to another. We're entertained to death. And then on top of that, you have pharmaceutical drugs, you have alcohol, and at the end of the day, people just go to sleep, usually with the television on, wake up in the next morning, and go through it all over again. So no one is paying attention to all the legislation that's being passed in the middle of the night and different things that politicians are doing to us. And then when we only find out about the big events, and then at that point in time, people are so uninformed that they keep reelecting the same people over and over again. And I just think that the overall effect in society is that you have a small class of people that are able to do whatever they want and take advantage of the masses of people, both from a political standpoint and a financial standpoint, because people are basically just asleep. They're zombies based on the...
And they're looking for instant gratification. But they're looking for instant gratification, and the drugs we're talking about here cause that effect in their minds.
I keep coming back to my example of these wonderful people of the Dominican Republic that my brother-in-law sees every year, and he's thinking, okay, they just have a tin shack and they have nothing, but in some ways, they have so much more than we do in North America. We like to think a North American society is rich, is civilized, is progressive. And yet, what you're describing is many of us are just zombies.
Yeah, I don't even think many. I think most people at this point are really asleep. I mean, you've seen different TV shows go out in the street and ask someone who's the vice president or real common questions or where a certain state or city is, and people don't even know basic politics at this point in time, and that's because they're not paying attention. And when you're not paying attention, someone can do literally anything to you right in front of you, even though it's a big secret. And I think that's what's happening in our society at large, is that people are simply asleep and zombified by the toxic foods, the medications, and the entertainment. The combination is really deathly to make people just not pay attention to anything.
Okay, we're almost out of time. I want to ask you this. How do we change it? How do we avoid becoming an American addict? How do we deal with all of these issues, which are so overwhelming that we almost want to go out and pop a pill?
To medicate to get away from the problem. Yes, and that's, again, that is the key question. And I think I ask people that, too. I said, what are you going to do about it? And what I think, what I'm doing about it and what other people can do about it is educate yourself. And thank goodness we still have the Internet, and we still have some free speech to some degree in that venue, where you can go to alternative media programs like yours, where people can actually hear a different theme. Because in mainstream media, we're getting fed the same thing over and over and over again. It's really almost becoming propaganda at this point, and it's a very controlled. The media in the United States is highly controlled, again, by pharmaceutical companies. They advertise a lot on national television. So people have to read books. They have to get on the Internet and read alternative media. They have to watch documentaries. When people get exposed to the truth, and people are thirsty for the truth because it's so rare we get told the truth by our leaders, when people are exposed to the truth, people will take action. Now, if someone gets exposed to the truth and they still keep doing the wrong thing or keep being victimized, what are you going to say? But I think most people, when they're exposed to the truth and they learn for themselves, then they affect change. And affecting change with your wallet, meaning you don't spend money on these things, and you tell your doctor what's an alternative, and they say there is no alternative, you find a new doctor. You find someone that will give you the answers that you need.
Let me ask you two questions before we let you go. You talk about major issues in the news right now. One is antibiotics. We've just been warned again very recently on a world scale that antibiotics are losing their effectiveness, and that is setting up for what some say is catastrophe. Your thoughts?
Well, it's true. They're overused. Every time someone sneezes, the doctor gives them an antibiotic. And one thing that's not covered in the news at all is that not only do you have the antibiotics losing their effectiveness, but when you take an antibiotic, you kill what's called the normal flora, which is your normal good bacteria. So people have stomach problems and other issues, GI problems, because they're actually killing the good bacteria. So I always tell people they should be taking probiotics anytime they're put on an antibiotic. Probiotics are the good bacteria that you put back in your gut.
And are you happy about the new recommendations by the World Health Organization with regards to sugar? This week on McLean's cover, one of our national magazines here in Canada, the front cover shows death by sugar. And so you must be happy about the new awareness that's coming out about the damaging effects of sugar.
Yeah, and I want to add that is processed white sugar. Unprocessed brown sugar, regular sugar, or natural sugar actually is harmful. But white sugar has been likened to heroin in terms of its damages. And people that have wide swings in blood sugar have been shown to commit violent acts. And you can manipulate people's blood sugar and see them do all kinds of crazy things as if they were on drugs. So that it's a tremendous thing that the World Health Organization is speaking out against the white sugar problem.
Single biggest issue, before we let you go, single biggest issue in health in America today?
I think by far it's the medicating of America, the prescription over-medicating of Americans. It leads not only to the fact that they're medicated, but all the side effects from these drugs, and then people end up getting more drugs to treat the side effects, and then you see people having heinous problems like suicide, homicide, mass shootings. So by far, that to me is the biggest health problem in America right now.
And which would have the healthier effect on American society today if we abolished sugar or prescription drugs?
Well, I would say prescription. Well, I wouldn't want to abolish either one. Prescription drugs and sugar are not inherently bad, most of them. It's the way they're used and overused for chronic disease. So if we control it better and use it the right way, we can have our sugar and we can have medications and we can all be a lot healthier.
Okay, and on the prescription drug issue, where does that start? Give us one ray of hope that we can turn this around. Who does it start with?
It starts with the person at home listening to this broadcast, people reading different alternative media, watching these documentaries, taking responsibility for your personal health is the bottom line. Keeping your own medical records, asking educated questions, and getting second and third opinions about your condition before you do anything.
Okay,
that's great advice.
Pam, where can we see Dr. Smith?
I think people should go to his website. It is AmericanAddictTheMovie.com. AmericanAddictTheMovie.com.
Doctor, can't tell you how much we appreciate your insights this morning and your spending the time with us to talk about these very, very pressing health issues.
Well, I appreciate you guys having me on. You guys do a great job, and thank you very much. And hopefully one day I can come back and talk about all this stuff.
We'd love to have you back. That would be great.
And I'm prepared to run, but give me 5 seconds on Obamacare.
Not good.
Thank you. Appreciate the input. Short break. When we come back, we want to talk, Pam and I, about this very important article. We did an interview with the senior editor of McLean's magazine about their article on sugar. I want Pam to outline how important that article is, that you read it, understand it, and have an epiphany about sugar. We'll be back with that sweet, sour news in just a moment right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK. Okay, just before we get to the sugar issue in McLean's magazine, Rob has a comment on what we've been hearing. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning, Andy. Good morning, Pam.
We don't have a lot of time. Rob, get right to the point. Your reaction to what you just heard.
For me personally, I'm not blown away. I work in funeral services. I've called you before, Andy.
Yep.
And when I caught the last part of your show there in the interview, and it's so huge. Like when we talk about prescription drugs and we talk about the effects it has on different kinds of behaviors, I'm around suicide almost on a daily basis. And these stupid prescription drugs that we're given, it's just like this topic needs to be talked about so much more and really get to the root of the problem, because I'll tell you, it's out there every day and it's everywhere. And it affects, you know, starting probably 13 years old.
Well, and you work in funeral services, so when you go and have to clean up, shall we say, after a suicide, what are you seeing at the site?
I'm seeing, you know, prescription bottles. I'm seeing, and it's not 100% of the time, but I bet you it's, without exaggerating, it's 90% of the time that, you know, these things are involved in somehow the suicide. It's just, it's crazy, and it's out there, and we just don't talk about it enough.
Rob, right? I can't believe what a punctuation mark you're putting on our show. You're saying your job is picking up the bodies, and prescription drugs are a prime reason why the bodies are there.
Yeah, that's what I do in funeral services. I'm one of the sort of the removal guys, and that's all I do is the removals, and I'll tell you, it's so huge.
And you're seeing this problem get worse every year?
And you know what? It's affecting younger and younger, and it's not just middle-aged men and women. It's huge. And I just couldn't bite my tongue. I'm listening to the show this morning, or I caught the last part of it, and I just couldn't bite my tongue. I just had to call in, because you know what? We need to talk about this a lot more, and we don't.
Rob, we don't want to talk numbers. Give us one snapshot. I'm not asking you to get graphic, but one snapshot of one body where you remove the body. The person was young, and it really hit you in the heart about how real this problem is of prescription drugs.
Andy, it's hard to do that because I'll kind of break down myself, because I'm a former addict myself. And the only thing I want to say is that it's out there and it affects us all. It affects all ages. And, you know, for people just to think it's middle-aged men and women, oh, no, it's not. You know, it's all of us, and it's out there. And you know what? We got to talk about it. We got to fix it. And, you know, it's just...
And your story itself.
To be honest with you, Andy, because I'll tell you, it's as young as 13 years old.
Rob, we got to have you in studio someday with Pam.
You've got to come to London at some point, because your story is compelling. You ended up addicted to prescription opiate drugs after you were in an accident and in pain and so on. And now you're fine, thank goodness.
So give us 10 seconds on prescription drugs. What's the snapshot? What's the advice?
I'm just saying, think twice. Anytime you're prescribed prescription drugs, just think twice, even if it's for the common cold, if it's for anything, even if it's gravel, right? Gravel effects. Just think twice, and honestly, whatever you're going to put in your mouth, just honestly, like I just said it, just think twice, because addiction is gets started so easy, and that's what happened with me and almost killed me. Clean and sober 5 years, and you know what? I got a family. I got... The life is good. I'm just saying, if you are addicted out there, you can get help. And I don't care what you're addicted to and how bad you are, you can get help. Right? Okay. You can get help.
Rob, we'll have you on the show. Pam, yeah. Really quickly, just give me 20 seconds on the McLean's Magazine, how important it is people read it.
Oh, it's absolutely crucial that people read this article, Death by Sugar, front cover of the current issue of McLean's. You know, a lot of researchers today, Andy, say that sugar is a gateway drug, that it sets us up for addiction, other addictions. And I do agree with that, because addiction to sugar is going to lead to mood issues, which leads to more addictive behaviors.
Death by Sugar. We did an interview with the folks at McLean's earlier this week. Make sure you read it, folks. Cover story, McLean's Magazine. 11 o'clock news when we come back.